Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a beautiful Tuesday morning, Tuesday, May the 24th, 2022, 14 minutes past the hour, 50 degrees, mostly sunny skies. I'm telling you, I got a late start this morning. Even though I slept much better last night, got much more sleep, it was so cold in my house last night. Now, I'm going to define what so cold is. When I got up this morning, my thermostat was 69 degrees. Now, In the winter months, I leave my thermostat at 74. And as a matter of fact, in the summer, I leave it at 74 too. So that's the constant temperature in my house. Now, this morning it was 69 because I've got the air conditioning on. So it got so cold last night that the air conditioning did not kick on, obviously. And the temperature just went down with whatever temperature was outside. Now, I don't know how cold it was in my house in the middle of the night. I just know how cold it was when I got up this morning. 69 degrees. My goodness. It was chilly. 69 is cold to me because that's 5 degrees below what I normally sleep under. And also, when you're asleep, I think your body is colder than when you're up moving around. Did anybody else have a night like this? You've already got your air conditioning on and now you get a 69 degree weather night. 740-751-4038. Hopefully the allergies are getting better for everybody out there. I'm starting to see that people are feeling a little bit better. I think we're edging toward the end of the tree pollen season, usually over in the beginning of June, so that usually helps people out quite a bit. Do want to mention to everybody again that I will not be on Thursday or Friday this week, and I won't be on next Monday. But the reason I won't be on next Monday is because it's Memorial Day, and that's always been one of the days we take off here at the station. So we will have a best of programming schedule on Monday. So listen Monday morning and see what pops up. Or Thursday and Friday, where I think we're going to have best of programs Thursday and Friday as well, except for the pastor spot, which will be on Friday morning from 9:10 until 10 a.m. All right. It's a good sign this morning. We're starting with a phone call. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, you're talking about your temperature in your house being 69 degrees. I woke up this morning, temperature in my house is 64.
Now, how did that happen?
Because I live in the country, and it's windy out here.
Well, how cold did it get last night?
I don't know if it got down into the 40s or into the low 50s.
Oh, it was bad.
Oh, I know.
Now, did you have a blanket? Were you prepared for this?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I take blood thinner, so I'm cold all the time anyway.
I don't have anything like that, but when I went to bed last night, I was fine. And then about 4 a.m., I woke up to use the restroom, and my nose was frozen. You know, because I sleep under a blanket, so everything else was pretty well fine. But my nose was frozen, and I could tell that everything was cold. Now, I don't know how cold it was at 4. I would imagine it was even colder than 69. I don't think it got down to 64, but man alive, I didn't expect that last night.
I know. Well, that's all because of that cold front that come through with that last storm, see?
Well,
coming out of the north.
You know, but this is
bringing their wind down here.
This is a tricky time of year because I don't think anybody's going to turn their heat back on at this point. And when you
almost did,
I know. Well, it came close last night, but you know, when you turn that heat off and you turn that air conditioner on, which I have central air in my house, I'm lucky enough to have that. You know, it's not going to kick on, and of course, you wouldn't want it to kick on if it was below 74 degrees. And it just gets cold.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be that way all week.
Yeah, well, if I remember, it's supposed to get up into the 70s for a high, but I think we're still looking at 50s for a low anyway.
Well, this is what I said to people, you know, a couple weeks, the week after Mother's Day when we had that week of 80-degree temperatures. that wasn't normal. If you looked at what our normal temperatures were for that time of year, it was like 70 degrees, 69, 70. So we were about 15 to 20 degrees above the average temperature, and I knew these temperatures were going to fall back again, because right now we're about where we should be, 70, 75. Man.
I have a question about those normal temperatures.
All right.
How far back do they, how many years back do they go to average the temperature to get what they consider normal?
Now, that's a good question. Now, to be honest with you, my guess, and I could be wrong on this, but I think it's the late 1800s. I think it's when they started keeping data that they could verify. And I think they add to it every year.
Oh, really? They go back that far to average the temperature to figure out what the normal should be?
I think so. I think it depends on the news source, but I have seen at times where, like, the Associated Press will do a weather report, and they'll say, well, back in 1897, the temperature was this. So I know they have to have records from then, but I've never seen anything prior to the late 1800s, you know, 1890s, 1880s.
Yeah. Huh, that's interesting.
Well,
I did not know that.
Well, it's just, it's a fascinating thing. Now, that I find fascinating. Now, heat index and wind chill, I don't understand that at all. Because I think that is more determinant on where you're standing and your body mass.
If you're in town, the heat or the wind chill index is going to be different than if you were out in the country.
Yeah, but I wonder, where do they get that number from? Because they use it as a blanket statement.
I know. Well, I assume they get it from their, like they have those tower cams. I'm assuming they have the like weather stations up there somewhere.
Yeah, but you know,
that's where they get it.
When we get into June here, we'll start hearing about heat index. And
we've already heard heat index.
Oh, is it? Are they already doing heat index?
Yeah, when it was 80 pushing 90 degrees. Yeah, they was already talking heat index.
Okay, now when they say it's 89 degrees, but it feels like 97. Now, where is that? How do they know?
The humidity.
Well, I understand the humidity, but how much humidity is in a town? How much humidity is in the county? How much humidity is there when the wind is blowing? I don't quite understand. And to me, I don't understand. It feels like, now the people who have allergies and now that's an impactful thing.
Yeah.
But this whole feels like, I don't understand that.
No, I don't, you know, when they tell me, when I look at my weather or whatever, and I see the temperature's 85 or whatever, it might feel pretty good, but when the humidity is really high and the air feels really heavy, I mean, I don't consider it feeling any hotter. I just know the humidity's up. I don't even have to know what the humidity is, and I know the humidity's high.
Well, aren't there a lot of things that impact air quality besides just humidity? And I don't see those being figured into the heat index or anything like that.
Yeah. Yeah, wind would, of course, when it gets really hot, and it seems like when it gets really hot in the summertime and the humidity is really high, boy, you can't buy a breeze.
No, and it, you know, it does affect radio waves as well. It's the ionosphere. You know, I won't get too technical here, but the ionosphere is what FM signal is carried through. And
yeah,
if the ionosphere has to be a constant temperature, and if it goes up and down like it is right now, it will cause the radio signal not to go as far. Now, once it stays warm for about 2 weeks, it'll be fine. And it's same thing in the winter. Once it gets cold for about 2 weeks, it gets fine. But when the temperatures are volatile, going in between, you know, 50 and 60 at night and during the day getting up to 80, the ionosphere is very unsteady with carrying radio signals.
Yeah. I've also noticed that you can pick better radio signal up at night than you can during the day.
You know, that has to do with, I believe, the UV rays. Now, I'm not an expert on this, but you can always get better radio at night, even when you're having a volatile day. because there's nothing impacting the ionosphere from the sun. Now, I could be wrong, but that's what I've been told over the years.
Yeah, I knew it was because of, you know, radiation during the day from the sun, and at night, you know, especially if you have clear skies and you can see stars, you get, now I pick radio stations up from St. Louis, New York, Chicago.
Well, you know, it's interesting. St. Louis is interesting because I think a lot of people think, well, Chicago, New York, you know, those are big, big cities. St. Louis, forever, since the beginning of radio, has had hugely strong radio signals.
Yeah. Every once in a while I can pick it up.
What is it in St. Louis? I'm trying to think of the flagship. Is it KDKA in St. Louis? Or is that...
I think so. It's been a while since I found it, since I picked it up. I don't remember.
We really screwed it up here in Ohio, though. We had it at one point, the nation station, the highest powered radio station in the world, WLW, and when they lost that experimental permit and knocked it back down, I mean, you can't even really pick up WLW very good here in Marion. That's where they are.
I can pick it up in the car, but I can't hardly pick it up in the house.
Yeah, that is sad to me because at one point they were the most powerful station in the country. And you think, even though I don't think they should have been allowed to broadcast as high as they were, because they were impacting other stations. I mean, you could hear them in Mexico. And
oh, yeah.
But I don't think they should have knocked them down so far that... you know, they basically became a two-state station, Kentucky and Ohio. I think that's unfortunate.
Yeah, because sometimes I listen to the Reds games on. I used to listen to them on 700, but
loved it. Well, this
now,
is
now.
Well, go ahead.
I have to listen or watch. Now I have to watch it on the TV. Sometimes I still listen to the Cleveland baseball people. Well, I listen to them on the radio.
Well, this is why I still believe that the future of radio really is in streaming, because they are making it so easy to stream radio now. I mean, you can stream it on your smart television, you can stream it on your dot, you can stream it on your smartphone, you can stream it on your laptop, your tablet. I mean, anywhere you have any kind of internet at all, or any kind of phone connection, or any kind of television connection, you can stream this stuff now. Absolutely free, and you can get those stations. You know, a lot of people. Well, yesterday, Pat Henry, and we again want to wish he and his wife a very happy 47th wedding anniversary. But you know, they were listening in West Virginia.
Yeah,
certainly not over the air.
No, unfortunately, your station don't reach that far.
No, but you know what? I don't think people. I know people still listen on the radio. But the majority of people who I talk to, it used to be when we started, they would say, where are you on the dial? Now they say, how do we get your station?
Yeah.
And what they mean is, you know, tune in is what they're listening on.
Yeah.
So I always say, you know, if the FCC ever gets cross and yanks our license, we wouldn't go away. I mean, we would just be transmitted in another format.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing, and I think that's good for all radio stations, because to be honest with you, that's pretty much what WMRN does now. All the stuff over the air is syndicated, but their local programming is podcasts.
Yeah, I know. I listen to them at night because I like listening to Coast, but other than that, I don't listen to that station anymore.
No, it's sad that they've lost their local program. I think the trick, though, if you're going to be an online station, because I see a lot of these popping up now, the trick is you've got to be 24 hours. You can't be, I'm just going to do a show here, I'm going to do a show there, because people don't know when to listen. But if you're on 24 hours a day, as long as you've got something on that station 24 hours a day, and people, when they turn on their listening device, can hear you, then you're okay.
Yeah, I still like listening over the air, though.
Oh, so do I. I mean, I still have it on. I had it on in the car this morning. I thought I was going to be listening to Charlie, and I got Glenn and me filling in for Charlie this morning.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Yeah, we filled in about
had an appointment. they said, you guys said that he was there the first hour, but he must have had an appointment.
Yeah, I think that you know, that would happen from time to time the last year with Charlie. There's not too many of those shows where Glenn and I filled in. But
because I usually listen 7 in the morning and 7 in the evening, I'm listening.
Yeah.
And then I listen to I listen to you guys for most of the night while I'm, because that's what I do, because there's really nothing on TV I want to watch.
Yeah, well.
So then, all right, then.
Yeah, well, hey, thanks for calling.
Yep.
All right, we continue on, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Give us a buzz. Now I'm getting a reading here on the weather. I don't even know what this thing is called that gives me the temperature, but anyway, a reading just came across it that said pollen is high. Pollen is high. So that's where we are. Okay. Let's see. What else was there to talk about this morning? Won't be here Thursday and Friday or Monday. Gas prices still climbing. I know that's an unhappy spot for people. This is something I did yesterday that was not very wise. And I'm not really sure how this happened, but this is a little word to the wise. Now I like to buy Cool Whip, as people know, and mix it with my whipped cream. And I had bought a lot of Cool Whip not too long ago. So, it was in my refrigerator, and I had not frozen it. Now, see, this is where I went wrong. I had not frozen it. So, I was getting the whipped cream and eating it because the sell-by date was like next year, 2023. And it didn't dawn on me that when you go to the store, that Cool Whip is frozen. It's not just in your refrigerator. So, I ate the first. I had two things of Cool Whip in the last week. So I ate the first one, no problem at all. Then yesterday I went to eat the second one, and it looked fine. You know, there was no water, or it wasn't congealed funny or anything like that. So I get into it yesterday, and I'm eating it. And in the very bottom, just in one little spot of this whipped cream, and I really don't know what it was. All I know is there was this one little area that looked green. Now, this could have been mold. This could have been the Jell-O that I put in there, even though it wasn't green Jell-O. But there was this one little area, thank goodness I saw it, that, to me, I'm guessing would have looked like mold. So, obviously, I did not finish this. I tossed it out, and I thought, well, now I'm going to get botulism or something. Because I don't know if I've ingested any other green stuff in this. I hadn't seen any. So, I looked it up. Of course, we all go to the internet and look up these things. I went and looked this up. And come to find out, now this is interesting. Whipped cream can get moldy, but you would know if you were eating mold because apparently it has a horrible taste. So most people spit it out. But if you should ingest mold, now this is not every case, I'm not a doctor, but if you should ingest mold, it usually is not going to do anything to you. It's not like food poisoning. I did not know that. Now, if you do ingest it and get sick, of course you should see a doctor. But apparently, ingestion of a little mold will not do any harm, or should not do any harm to your system. I think that's fascinating. Now, also, the temperature at which you should not store your whipped cream below, because this is where I got confused, because the sell-by date, again, was 2023. It has to be below 40 degrees, not 32, not freezing, but below 40. Now, what is the refrigerator set at? This becomes my question. What is the refrigerator set at? I don't know if it's set at... I probably should have just looked in my refrigerator. Everybody probably sets them at a different temperature. But is your temperature... What is the temperature in the refrigerator? Is it 50? 50 seems a little high to me. You know, it was 69 degrees in the house last night. I probably just should have set the Cool Whip out on the table. Everything would have been fine. What is the temperature in your refrigerator? And what is the temperature in the freezer? Obviously below 32, so things can freeze. But I did not think there was that big of a difference between the refrigerator and the freezer. Give me a buzz. 740-751-4038. 34 minutes past the hour. 740-751-4038. I saw when you're eating something and you see a little bit of green stuff, and it wasn't big at all. It was probably less than the size of a penny. But you think, oh man, now I've done it. Now I've ingested this, and it's going to be bad news. But I did this yesterday at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so here we are at 8:30 the next morning. I think I would have felt something by now. I did not know these things. I did not know Cool Whip could mold before the sell-by date. I did not know that... mold does not really have any impact on your system. If anybody's got anything to say, what is your refrigerator set at? What temperature? Is it above 40 degrees or below 40 degrees? Because maybe I have my refrigerator set at the wrong point, although I don't know what it's set at, but I'm going to check that today. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. And what causes things to freeze in the refrigerator? Have you ever noticed some things, if you have it in the refrigerator part too long, you'll get ice on it? See, now that makes me think that the refrigerator is below 32 degrees. Because how would that ice stay on there if it wasn't below 32 degrees? I don't know, but I live to tell the tale. 740-751-4038. Okay, want to run down our community calendar, because there is one more thing I want to talk about here this morning. and I'm sure this thing I want to talk about will be controversial, but it was such a weird story yesterday, I have to get to it. June the 2nd, Mary Ellen Withrow's museum dedication at the Marion County Historical Society will be taking place 4 to 7 p.m. We will be broadcasting live from that event, and I believe that is open to the public. We'll have an itinerary on that as the days progress, as we get closer to June the 2nd. June 25th, the Pickle Festival in Miamisburg, Ohio. That should be a lot of fun, which is really in the Dayton area. 9th Annual Missions Yard Sale, June 2nd through 4th. Donations are needed to make this year's sale a success. Please reach out to Chris Reed for drop-off times. 740-751-3029. That's 740-751-3029. The Marion County Fair this year will take place July 4th through July 9th. The 4th will be the official kickoff, which is a little different than in previous years. And we also have the Caledonia Farmers Market in the Caledonia Public Square, Saturdays, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., starting in June and running through September. Locally grown produce and fruit, locally produced baked goods, locally produced honey, locally produced meat, local artists and crafters. They are a food card vendor. You can use the food card there. There are food vouchers for individuals 60 and older. Weekly raffle for vendor products. Weekly 50-50 raffle over in Caledonia starting the first Saturday in the month of June. So though that is our community calendar. Okay. Now, one thing I still want to throw out there as we get close to Memorial Day, do people still go out and visit the graves? We had a couple people yesterday, one or two, say that they do still go out and visit the graves on Memorial Day. I had said that I had stopped this a few years ago because they throw away the fake flowers, and planting real flowers does not really work for me because I can't go back and water them. So is this a bygone thing, or do people still go out to the cemeteries on Memorial Day? Give me a buzz, 740-751-4038. Do people still go to the Memorial Day ceremonies that a lot of these cemeteries have? A lot of the veterans usually come in and somebody speaks. Do people still attend those, or is that a bygone thing? 740-751-4038. So those are the questions on the table this morning here at WWGH Radio, 39 minutes past the hour here. WWGH Radio time. Okay, well, we did the whipped cream story. Wasn't that an exciting story? Do want to remind everybody, Adam the Computer Guy will be on today at 2:10 p.m. Voice of a People with Linda Sims at 4:10 p.m. Okay, here's the controversial story. Here's the controversial story. And to be honest with you, this is one of those situations where it's more, I don't understand the story, which is why I'm bringing this up. And it became a national story yesterday. So I just really don't get this. And trust me, I understand that the person I'm about to talk about is a divisive person for a lot of people. A lot of people don't like this person. I understand that. But it's not really about the person. It's more about what's going on that I really don't understand. So here's the deal. Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, apparently was denied communion by the Archbishop of San Francisco, because Nancy Pelosi, I believe, is a practicing Catholic. Now, this, she does live in California. She is a resident of California. That's where she is a House member from. But she also does live in Washington, in Georgetown, because obviously she does a lot of work in Washington, and she's fine to get her communion in Georgetown. But the Archbishop of San Francisco has denied her communion based upon, my understanding from all the stories I read, her stance on abortion, being pro-choice. Now, here's what I don't understand. San Francisco, California. How many people going to that church are probably pro-choice? I'm sure she's not the only one in San Francisco, California. Are they denying anybody else communion? This would have made more sense if the Archbishop of San Francisco had said, I'm denying all people who are pro-choice communion. Now, that to me also is a little confusing, because this didn't come from the Pope. I'm not saying the Pope is pro-choice. I don't think he is. But he's not saying, Pope Francis is not saying, deny people communion. So I'm not really sure why this is happening. And then the other thing I don't understand is, Pope Francis has said he is not for capital punishment. He has come out against that. He is not for capital punishment for people being killed who have done crimes. Okay. So, why isn't the Archbishop of San Francisco denying communion to people who believe in capital punishment? because the person now who sets doctrine for the Catholic religion has come out against capital punishment. So I guess I don't understand this. I do not understand why the Archbishop of San Francisco would get involved in something like this and deny somebody communion. And here's what I also don't understand, and I've never really understood this. Whether or not you are pro-choice or pro-life, most of the people who are arguing pro-choice have not had an abortion. I don't believe Nancy Pelosi had an abortion. I don't think Hillary Clinton ever had an abortion. So if you haven't had one, but you support the right to do it, does that make you faulty as well? I guess I'm not quite understanding what this is about. And aren't churches supposed to open their doors to people who they believe maybe have contrary views as them? I've never really heard something like that. And especially in San Francisco, which is a pretty liberal town. I don't know. I can't understand that. And again, I understand that people dislike Nancy Pelosi. There's a great dislike for her in certain areas of this country, this probably being one of them. But how in the world do you deny one person communion? If you really were upset about the issue, wouldn't you deny all people who feel that way communion? Because I'm sure she's not the only one. Does anybody understand this? I think this Archbishop's just trying to get in the news. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. 52 degrees, sunny skies here in Marion. But what a bizarre story that is. And again, I don't understand the capital punishment part of it, because the Pope has said, Pope Francis, that he is against capital punishment. Now, does that mean people who believe in capital punishment, who take communion in the Catholic Church, should not be able to take communion? I mean, nobody's saying that. I don't know how you deny anybody communion, no matter what religion you belong to. I don't know how any reverend or preacher or archbishop could stand up and say you're not going to get communion because of a belief you hold. When in the world did we become a society that has zero tolerance for other people's opinions? And that's all this is an opinion when you boil it down. And it's an opinion by this archbishop to deny somebody communion. I mean, what is going to happen when, if she goes back to San Francisco and she walks up to get communion at her church? I mean, what are they going to do? Yank it out of the way of her? I don't get it. Does anybody understand this? 47 minutes past the hour, 740-751-4038, 24th of May, 2022, 52 degrees and sunny skies now here in Marion, apparently with a high pollen count today. Just an odd story that I saw yesterday, and I knew bringing this up this morning would be a little divisive with people, because this is one of those topics, like capital punishment, like gun rights, like freedom of the press, like freedom of speech, that gets people worked up. But I've never heard of an archbishop denying one person by name communion. Can reverends or preachers do that in church? I don't know. I thought church was supposed to be a safe place where people could go. I think for the most part it is, but this is just one of those outliers, one of those strange cases. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. I tell you, the gas prices are not going to be coming down certainly anytime in the next week, but people are still filling up. They're still out there traveling. They're complaining while they do it, but they are out there traveling. All right, here's an odd story from Lincoln, Nebraska. A couple hundred people grabbed their pool noodles and headed to a Nebraska park again this weekend to battle over the right to name Josh. The event started as an online joke when Josh Swain from Tucson, Arizona, sent out a tweet challenging anyone who shared his name to fight over it. Now, see, this is going on in the world. In Lincoln, Nebraska, a pool noodle fight over the name Josh attracts hundreds of people. Josh Swain from Tucson, Arizona. So apparently, there are people who are fighting it out over the name Josh. If your name is Josh, you can have a knockdown drag out. Okay, Oak Bluffs, Massachusetts. A man who is a child, had a brief but key role in Jaws, has been named police chief of the Massachusetts island on which the 1975 movie was partially filmed. Jonathan Searle was offered the job of police chief in Oak Bluffs on Martha's Vineyard last week. So a boy who had a role in the movie Jaws has been named police chief of Oak Bluffs, Massachusetts on Martha's Vineyard. You know, that really doesn't seem like that big a story. I don't even know why that's a story, to be honest with you. A lot of people from a lot of movies have went on to jobs. I think police chief is just another job. I don't know what the big difference is there. All right, 51 minutes past the hour. Does anybody have anything to say? 740-751-4038. Anything to say on the gas prices? What's your refrigerator set at? Nancy Pelosi getting denied communion by the Archbishop of San Francisco. This gentleman from Jaws getting a police chief job. People with the name of Josh battling it out with pool noodles to see who is, I guess, the... What do you win in this contest if your name is Josh? It isn't like the good old chili cook-offs or pie-eating contests where you knew what you were going to win. I don't know. 740-751-4038. Give me a buzz here. 52 minutes past the hour, WWGH radio time. We're just speeding right through the month of May here. You know, we got a call yesterday, right before the end of the show, asking why we had not talked about the Johnny Depp trial, which apparently does seem to be dominating the news to some degree. I just, as I said yesterday, as we were going off the air, it seems to me like they're both nuts. You know, I can see why the media is reporting on it, because they both just seem a little nuts. You know, she's showing up to court every day dressed like him. He's talking like characters from movies outside. We're learning what their proclivities are when they were married. I don't understand. I mean, who's going to win this trial? I think people are citing against her at this point because they think she's a little nuttier than him. But I don't know if she'll win the trial or not, to be honest, because he's a little nutty himself. I think he can afford better lawyers. But other than that, I don't really know. Did you see where Arby's is going to start serving hamburgers? The roast beef shop is going to start serving hamburgers. This kind of reminds me of the whole Del Taco thing. Because apparently at Del Taco, if it ever gets open here in town, we're going to have hamburgers along with tacos at the same place. So now Arby's, not only will you be able to get a roast beef, but you'll be able to get a hamburger. Wonder how the hamburgers will be over at Arby's. I like their roast beef. Does anybody know what the hang-up has been over at Del Taco? There's something going on there because they're doing some road work in front of Del Taco, which makes me think there's something going on under the road, that maybe there was some kind of a plumbing or electrical or some kind of issue that went on. Does anybody know what's going on over at the Del Taco site here in Marion? Because I would have thought they would have had this open. When did they start building? Wasn't it last fall? I mean, the building looks like it's coming along okay, but they're doing some kind of work out there, some kind of road work. Because they've had a lot of orange barrels out there. Traffic has been rerouted on some days. But clearly something going on. And maybe there was some kind of issue with the building. I don't know. You know, those electrical and plumbing issues and things of that nature can cause big problems. Does anybody have the inside scoop on what's going on over there? 740-751-4038. Go ahead, caller.
Scott Spears, Tuesday Taco Talk on the 24th.
It is. Taco Tuesday.
All I can say is, yeah, well, I'll take tacos any day, but Tuesday when they're on sale, why not? You know, they built the Polaris Mall. I don't think it took more than 6 months. How can they build an entire mall, a million square feet, in a few months, but they can't build, and they're remodeling an existing building. The Polaris Mall was wooded farmland before they built the mall and started developing. How can they do that, but they can't get a taco restaurant done, you know, seemingly in 9 months? I don't quite understand, but I think we all have the same query. You know, it could be something with zoning, but I don't think that's an issue. That would be zoned for a takeout or fast food restaurant.
They're
just teasing us, I guess. I mean, who knows? Maybe they're going to reopen the Ponderosa. That would make me very happy.
Well, there used to be a restaurant.
I was so sad when that closed.
There used to be a restaurant on that location years ago, so I don't think it's a zoning issue. They're doing
that's a common problem, but it wouldn't be there. That's zoned for a taco restaurant, sure.
No, but they're doing some work out in the road in front of it, so it makes me think that there was some kind of a plumbing or electrical or maybe phone issue there, because something's going on right out in front of the building.
Yeah. Maybe they need to put some portable toilets, like in front of the mausoleum. Maybe that'll get them some publicity.
You know, I think that's a good idea.
It is a restaurant, so you know, after you eat, you have a call to nature, as my dad would say.
I just, you know, as I've said since the beginning about the whole thing, is it's on such a small lot, hence the porta potty. When they open and they get flooded with business, which I'm sure they're going to be like all businesses do when they first open, being right there at the light, right at the county city line on that small property, I have no idea how people are going to get up and down Route 95 going east with that place open. That is going to be a wreck.
Yeah, well, maybe good for the body shop business. Who knows? Maybe I should just, you know, invest in a body shop.
Well, I don't think people will get. I don't think people will actually get in wrecks. I just think the traffic is going to be backed up so much that people are going to be they're already impatient. They don't want to wait at the lights, let alone wait for somebody to go through a fast food windows. And heaven forbid if you try to turn left out of there, because there is no light there. And it's already difficult to turn left out of Wendy's in the same situation. So I don't know.
We don't have a Chick-fil-A in Marion, right? Because they're notorious for having 20 people online at the drive-thru. I mean, it's like going to Times Square sometimes when you go over there. I don't think we have a Chick-fil-A in Marion.
No, we don't. And I'm not saying the line's going to stay that way forever, but when it opens, just like when Popeyes, just like when White Castle, just like when Ponderosa, just like when Panda Express, when a new business opens, people flood it for about the first 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, I agree.
That's going to be a mess because there's no light there. It's the busiest road in Marion, and the parking lot's not big enough to accommodate a big line.
Well, I guess we'll find out when it happens.
We will.
Maybe we just need a Chick-fil-A across the street and maybe invest in a six-level parking garage or something with a portable toilet on every floor.
We shall see.
Okay, well, it's not much excitement, but I don't understand that how long it took to build the Polaris Mall. I don't think it took more than 6 months. Every time I would drive by there, it would be another piece done.
Hopefully,
it's I drive by the Del Taco. It's like
here comes the break. Yeah,
it looks the same. Okay, all right. See you later.
Thanks, Adam. Bye bye. All right, we're going to break. We'll be back in 15 minutes. Don't change.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio, the Talking Place. For legendary First Lady of Broadcasting in Marion, Madge Cooper.
If you have a new announcer and he's not from this area, you make sure that before he went on the air the first time, you said, it is not Bucky Russ.
I got back into radio, and now I'm doing some syndicated shows for Ducks Unlimited and for the Toyota Motor Company.
You got a commercial in there, and you do